Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family." Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 117. It is April 6, 2015. Well, today, God calls His people out. Are you out yet? Sinners all over the world are coming out, you know, showing who they are. Actually, they're showing that they're really in, not out. God calls His people to be holy, to be different from the world. To come out for God is to be separated unto God. Come out of her, my people, is the call. That was the call to Abram. And Abraham, we know him as. I want you to understand that the call of God is different for every man, every woman on the face of the earth. We're giving you examples of the types of things that God might do, but we cannot expect God to do for us individually what He did for some other individual, only that He does call people. You will be called. You have been called. If you're listening to a program like this, there's no doubt that Christ is calling you to something, not through this program, but the fact that you are interested in spiritual things tells me that God has already called you to Himself. Now, some of you are struggling with, what do I do? What do I do now? Genesis 12 talks about how Abram was called out. Isaac and Jacob were also spoken to directly in a heavenly way by the Father. God spoke to Jacob in a dream. And then He sent a man to wrestle with him. You remember that? All of that was a part of the call of God on these patriarchs' lives. These patriarchs had a very specific job that was to come out from the world first, to come out from Babylonia. And we are called out of Babylon today. And if you hear His voice, you can hear His voice on the inside of you just saying, this world is evil, come out of it. You don't need a physical voice as they had. There was a voice that registered with their physical bodies. They knew it was some other voice talking to them, and they came out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, called to come to the promised land, to start the whole process whereby God would be calling out a people for Himself, the Jewish people. Yes, there was a call on Ishmael also, the brother of Isaac. It was a different kind of a call. God was letting Hagar, Ishmael's mother, know that that son would not be forgotten, even though he had been rejected by Abraham, even though he was not the promised seed. We need to say that loudly and clearly today, because Muslims want us to think that it was the opposite, that Ishmael was the promised one and Isaac was the other son. No, we know what the scripture said long before there was ever a Muhammad, long before there was ever a Quran. We have the scriptures here that have not been corrupted, by the way, as they will try to tell you. You can make a study of that on your own also, how miraculously God has preserved His Word. I touched on it in my own study of Islam, which is online here at Sermon Audio. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, we can track down through Judah, Joseph. Joseph was called of God, but you'll never see a call on his life. You'll just see him suddenly interpreting dreams. There was just a gift that he had. And as you come into Christ, filled with God's Spirit, every one of you, every one of us is given a gift. That in itself can be the call of God on your life. Well, what do I do? Well, do that. Do that thing that you do so well, and God will use your gift and make room. That's what the scripture says, that the gift that a man has makes room for him. Makes room for him. Use the gift that God gave you, that you're sure that you have, that no one else around you has. You just know it had to come from God. Use that gift. That's a call from God, too. That was Joseph. Pretty much brings us through the rest of Genesis with those men. You go on into Exodus, of course, there's the call of God on Moses. Now, nobody's going to be a Moses in this sense. Nobody's going to have the kind of call that he did, the miraculous call of God. He needed a great shaking. He had At one point in his life, he had an inner call that said that, hey, these are my people. I must bless my people, Israel. Egyptians are not my people. He saw that and he began to work in his own natural strength to do something for God. Now, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do what you're supposed to do, what is the right thing to do. And God can confirm it later. It took a long time for God to confirm it, 40 years, for God to confirm the call that was on his heart. He knew there was something he had to do, but he didn't know what it was. And he lived on the backside of the desert for a long time. He became just an ordinary man, and you might have to also. You might have children. You might have a wife and children and all the things that go along with that. But God hasn't forgotten the desire that he put in your heart to serve him. You've got to seek him, though, with all of your heart. Seek him. Ask him, what is it you want me to do? I've got these other responsibilities. Well, so did Moses. Moses had responsibilities, but God will intervene. God will show you what you are to do. Your wife and children may be a part of it. They may not. You need to accept that possibility. You may have to just do this thing alone, whatever it is that God's calling you to do. But you see Moses' call in chapter 3 of Exodus, at the burning bush. Everyone knows the story of the burning bush. That's a real call. I don't have to be specific about that. You know what that was about. You go on through Exodus, and his call becomes so very obvious and clear as he becomes the deliverer of his people. Then he has some followers. Very few when you think about it, but he does have a few followers among all those, 2 or 3 million people that came out of Egypt. There are a few that hang close to him, and one of them is Joshua. Joshua saw the call on the man of God, and he clung to Moses. He stayed with him. Caleb also. I'm thinking in particular of Joshua now, though, and because he's going to be the next leader. Where's the call of God on his life? Where do you see God speaking to him? That's pretty unclear. That doesn't happen a whole lot with Joshua, but he hangs close to the man of God, and he receives from the man of God grace and blessing as he stays close to him. That's one thing that we're called upon to do when we see the man of God, when we know that there is a man who has a call on him, and we're feeling a desire toward God ourselves. We need to cling to the man of God, stay with him. The call of God might come through him by that man laying his hands on you and saying, follow me. Jesus did that a lot, didn't he? But Joshua was a man of God, not to the big miraculous calling that Moses had. He just hung with Moses and was faithful to Moses and faithful to God and sought God on his own, and God was able to use him. He was one who was always saying what God said, always seeing what God saw, as in the case of the spies that were sent out. He was one of the 12, along with Caleb, 2 of the 12 who saw things as God saw them when they had to go spy the land. You know the story. So there's a call of God on all of us. In all different ways. That'll take us through the rest of the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. And Joshua too. Joshua also. Until we come into the book of Judges. Now, I'm just literally paging through my Bible, and you can do that too. I'm just past Joshua, going on into Judges. Who's going to be called now? We don't see the voice of God so clearly until we get to Gideon. But Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar, these were the judges of Israel. And just within them, they realized God's people are being hurt, and I've got to do something. We don't see God saying out loud, do this. So if those of you who are waiting for that voice, that physical voice on the outside, you're not a Moses. You may not get a call like that. But if you can see the people of God that are in trouble, if you can see a world that needs to be saved, and you have something that you can do, even if it's the jawbone of a donkey, as in one case here, do it. Do what God puts in your hand to do. That, too, is the call of God. The call of God's all over the world right now. We have such an evil world in which we live. If you're living close to God, you're feeling grieved at the evil that's around you. That's the call of God upon you. Now ask God, Lord, what do I do about this grief? What do I do about this stuff that's going on around me? I want to be a part of helping you in some way. I want to be your voice. Wait on Him. Be sure you get the right word, the right message for you. And then you go out and be one of these judges that goes out and conquers. Now, we don't do it in the flesh now. We don't hurt people physically. But we can hurt their chances of success by preaching the gospel around them, by praying around them, praying for them, praying with them, in fact, in some cases. Use the weapons of our warfare, as described in the New Testament, and do what these heroes of the faith did. You're being called to do that. You're being called to stand up for God's people as one of God's people in this time, as they did. And God will bless you. But don't forget, there, even in the days of the judges, there were those times when God intervened and spoke to people. You see, Gideon, and I didn't mean to bypass Deborah, by the way. Let me go back to Deborah, lest somebody think I'm being a masculinist here, a genderist. Deborah, what was her calling? You don't see God calling her. You have a mention of a woman that would sit under this tree. Let's don't lift her up to the king, all right? She was a woman who sat under a tree. That's it. That was her ministry. She sat under a tree, and the Holy Spirit would bring into her heart and mind His words. She was a prophetess. She was a woman of God. And God used her to help make all the decisions that the people of God needed to make. Now, this is how God wanted to rule His people all the time. He wanted to rule His people through words from Him, through anybody that would listen. No man was listening, evidently, at that time. God spoke to this woman, and people would come to her by the droves. They would come to her and ask, what do I do? Oh, God, help me. And she would have a word of God for them. She sat under a tree and judged Israel. She was considered one of the judges of Israel. And judging in the original sense, I believe, of that word, she wasn't the Savior. She, the military Savior who comes and delivers. She chose a man to do that. Barak came and took care of that part of things. But Deborah, the woman, was ruling Israel by the word of the Lord. Now, that kind of women leadership, when she's just prophesying, I am totally for. Even in today's church, when a woman prophesies, that's a godly thing. Women are to keep silent in the church when it comes to teaching and comes to authority over men. But when the word of God comes through a woman, you better sit down and listen. Yes, it can still happen. God can speak through women, but be sure that they're speaking only what God has said. Quoting Scripture today is probably the very best word from the Lord that you will receive. And everything that woman says better be lined up with Scripture, or that's another person you're going to have to turn away from. And there are women like that in the world today, in the church today, proclaiming their own words, doing their own thing. They need to be rejected. They need to be refused. But a woman who is listening to God and hearing what God wants to say to a person or a group, that woman is worthy of an audience. She's a woman of God. That was her call. Her gift, again, was her call. You don't see God specifically calling her to do this. It just happened. She walked with God, and God spoke through her. And a marvelous victory in Israel. She wanted to be known as a woman, as a mother of Israel. That's what she was. Until I, verse 7 of chapter 5 of Judges, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. That's what she wanted to be. That's who she was, a mother in Israel. Don't elevate her. Don't make her a king in your thinking. She wasn't that way. Just a mom. Just a spiritual mom to the children of Israel who would come to her. Gideon received a direct message from an angel of the Lord. Again, you may not receive that. You may, but it's unlikely. It's unlikely based on statistics. The likelihood of any individual receiving a message from an angel is not too high. But Gideon did. That was how he got called. Got called to minister a great victory also. We're going to have to stop there and go on to Gideon and other things later. You see what we're going to do? We're just going to page through the scripture, find how God called different people, and see if God will show you that he has a call of God on your life too. Then we'll go out of the scriptures into history and find a couple of those people who were called of God after the scriptures to show you that he's still doing that. He's still doing it in our day. And then I have one final thing that I will share with you about the call of God that I think will be beneficial. Don't forget what God said to Abraham, and remember it's for us too, to come out. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country. Go away from your family. God bless you today. We'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.